Government Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour. Today, I want to wish everyone a Merry Christmas. It is, in parts of the world, Christmas, and on the West Coast, it's Christmas Eve, 2009, so we want to wish folks there in the western region of the United States, a wonderful Christmas Eve. You got another couple hours yet until you reach the Christmas hour. So we also would like to welcome all those who are listening to us tonight on Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world, as well as on blogtalkradio.com. And you folks in the U.S. military know that our thoughts and our prayers are with you on this very holy day. Tonight's guest is a talk show host in his own right. He has a show that's featured on Wind Talkers Radio Network and on blogtalkradio.com. And he is a weekly guest on Evident Footprints, and he is a researcher. He is a webmaster of a fantastic website called A Marine's Disquisition, amd.elequity, and the name of his radio show is A Marine's Disquisition. He's a former U.S. Marine from 1967 through 1977, and my good friend, Drew Malone Raines III. Drew, Merry Christmas, and welcome to Evident Footprints.
And to all around the world, a good night. No. Wake up, everybody. I'm awake. It's bright-eyed and bushy-tailed out there, and it's Merry Christmas to all my fellow Marines around the world, wherever you are. I understand that it's still 1,900 hours there in Christchurch, New Zealand. Well, your Christmas day is ending. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. It's one more day in the fast lane of talk radios. Those of us that are watchers, researchers, we don't take days off. We take time out to go visit our families. If we're fortunate enough, like Don Nikoloff is, he was able to go and visit with his mother and sit down and have dinner with her. I wished I had another day and another time to have dinner with my mother. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the time of the year, Don, and all the rest of you listeners out there, this is the time of the day of the year that you need to reflect away from this commercialism that is slowly ate away at this part of the year for over 100 years. I don't know when it actually started. A lot of you out there, you remember a Little House on the Prairie. My mother, my grandmother, and I literally almost regurgitated when they had their first Christmas, and they went out there and cut a Christmas tree, and this is supposed to be depicting settlers in the 1880s. I got news for you out there. You're being lied to. Christmas trees are a 20th century inventions, more than anything else. You're being lied to because the season is in honor of the birth of our Savior, but we've gotten away from the fact that it's about the birth of our Savior, and this day has been set aside to honor the evil cabal as well. This is their real holy day, but In respect to our own Savior, many of you out there are worshiping Him on the wrong day. But it's neither here nor there. There's a lot of people that were in the same age group as my grandmother that didn't know when they were born. didn't know what day of the week they were born. Many didn't even know the year they were born. But they celebrated just a certain day. They gave themselves a birthday. And so they could have a birthday. Now, ladies and gentlemen, in honor of Yeshua the Christ, Yahweh the Father, this day is set aside to honor the birth of our Savior, and it, rightfully so. You should be honoring your family and your friends. If your family has passed on to the other side, seek out your friends. Call them on the phone and do a little fellowship. To my Marines out there, many of you are having a really tough time because we've lost a number of Marines here these last 2 months. It's a sad state of affairs for 2nd Marine Recon Division. My heart goes out to you guys because I've been there, done that, know what you're going through. And I want to let you know that to the Navy personnel around the world, we respect what you have done to help us get from shore to shore. And to the Air Force around the world, Marines love the heck out of you flyboys coming in, even though we have our own aerial reconnaissance and our own aerial support. You flyboys definitely do come to our aid every once in a while. And to those of you on the fellow Army personnel that are on the ground with us, with your detachment of helicopters, we love the heck out of those big boys come flying in to give us support. But this is a day that we should look to each other and reflect of what this world is fast becoming. It's fast becoming a world of hate, a world of jealousy. I'm ashamed that it's taken the Thomas Paine of the 21st century to go down the rabbit hole, taking his crane along with his drag line to come forth with evidence that even our commanding officers in the field, even our President of the United States, who led us to the largest battles of the world in World War II, many of you do not realize that Dwight David Eisenhower was alive. And my great-great-uncle, Major General Smedley Darling Butler, at the age of 59, was probably murdered, as well as George S. Patton. How many other generals died? How many other men have died for this hate and this greed around the world? We need to sit back and reflect that this is supposed to be a time of peace. And in modern history, there is recorded a time where warriors from both sides sat down in the battlefield and stopped. Not for an hour, not for a day, not for orders given. They did it on their own. Privates, the mud boys. And who were these men? They were the men of World War I, Poles and Germans. Germans on one side, Poles on the other. The Finnish were along with the Poles and Russians. And for a period of 5 days over the course of December the 25th, 1917, not one round was shot on the Western Front of World War I. Not one round. The men that were opposite each other traded gifts. What were the gifts? Cigarettes, cheese, crackers, bread. And they talked, those that were fluent in two languages, would translate for others. Stop and think about it, ladies and gentlemen. It was 92 years ago today. privates, sergeants, enlisted COs decided that they'd had enough. What was this war all about on the Western Front of World War I? It was about greed. It wasn't about protecting a farm or protecting a town. It was all about greed and elitist wanting more control of other lands. These enlisted personnel, along with a few lower-ranking officers, took it upon themselves on a midnight clear 1917, the 24th hour of the 24th day of December. And on the morning of the 25th, at approximately 5 minutes after, you could not hear anything but crickets for miles and miles. The men that were in the battle started sharing cigarettes and bread and cheese. It took the generals 6 days to get World War I restarted. It mushroomed from the Western Front across Europe. Men were talking about the enlisted man that walked the firing line with a white cloak and a large cross, hand-built or handmade, carved out from thicket trees. And in the bright full moon, walked across the ridge, and nobody shot a, not one person shouted or fired around. Brought peace to a war front. We are presently involved in Afghanistan right now, and many of you out there have got this hate in your heart. Go kill them all! Bring out the boomers! What did the Afghans do to us? What did the Iraqis do to us? If anything, the United States of America had a right to go into Iran in 1977. Full-fledged. We didn't go. We didn't do anything, even though our embassy and our sovereign soil and our Marines and U.S. Department personnel were imprisoned. But we stood by and did nothing. But here today, we're fighting a war on four fronts. Oh, you say we're not fighting on four fronts? We're fighting on a half a dozen fronts inside Iraq. Our military is being pulled out and moved over to Afghanistan. In Afghanistan, they've been fighting internal wars for 4,000 years. Only one general has ever stood up and said we should not go into the wars of Europe and be involved in their problems. But we constantly have been doing so. We've been entrapped ever since the Rough Riders engaged in Cuba on San Juan Hill. We were suckered in. And an all-volunteer army went to Cuba and defeated the Spaniards. All because of a boiler blowing up. And the news media saying that the Spaniards blew up the steamship in the harbor of Havana. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been lied to constantly. Major General Smedley Darlington Butler wrote a book, War is a Racket. Many of you are out there looking for some 200-page, 500-page book. It's a pamphlet book. Probably 36 pages of a pamphlet book, not much bigger than 2 inches wide, or if you laid it down where it would open up as a book, maybe 2 inches across the top and 4 inches down the side. The treaties, wars, yes, talking about 19 should the
Don, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm back.
We got knocked off the air. Drew,
yeah,
I'm going to bring
you back. I heard it. I just came down. I was spending a few moments with the family.
Well, right at that moment, we
I apologize for that. That's just the way things worked out today. I apologize to you and the audience, but it just got in, and we're back. So enjoy.
Are we on the air now?
We're live.
Okay.
We are live.
Okay, folks, sorry about that. We got knocked off the air. We are back.
And we got knocked off the air because I mentioned Dwight David Eisenhower not being born in America, ladies and gentlemen.
Drew, you got to let me talk a little bit on the show.
Now. I'm sorry.
That's all right. We're going to get in a conversation here, but obviously somebody didn't like something that was said. You're very right, and so we're going to keep saying it. We're not going to stop, folks. If you're still tuned in, we apologize, but it's not our fault. The network got knocked off, and we were just trying to reestablish communication. So
well, we've got people in Louisiana and people in Russia, and we got people in New Zealand that are saying that we hear you now.
Yeah, not our fault. So we're back. You were talking about war as a racket. You were talking about your great uncle, Major General Smedley Darlington Butler, and his book War as a Racket. And you were referencing my recent article, Teenage Mutant Ninja Eisenhowers, parts 1 and 2. Have you had a chance to read that, Drew?
No, I have not been able to get the computer up and running that has the software in which I'm able to read that information.
Mm-hmm.
But I was able to peruse it before I put it on my own News and Views this morning, and I've been working on my getting my computers up so I can do some other work because I do help a legal professor here in Little Rock. We do paralegal work for the poor people, mostly black poor, but I haven't been able to assist him for 2 days now because of the attack on me on Tuesday.
Okay. Well, it's getting attention. People are reading it. People are finding out. I've not gotten much feedback from some people. Jeff Rentz posted it on Rentz.com, so that's increased some traffic, and let me tell you, a lot of people are under attack these days. The intelligence agencies have nothing better to do than to criminally tamper with people's computers. I mean, it's a crime what they're doing, and they get away with it. But,
and here's the thing about that, Don. A lot of people out there, they don't realize that their computers are being attacked by a government agency. They thinking they're getting this him call that, well, it's a big box store computer and it's going to go down. It's made to go down after 2 years or da 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 da. And I'm looking at this sarcastically because as an engineer, self-taught in computers, where to the point where I'm a garage hacker, I know better. This is ludicrous. I'm running a computer that I pay $20 for. Right now, that's running, that's carrying this conversation right now.
Mm-hmm.
I pay $20 for it from a salvage yard that the state of Arkansas sells their big box computers out to. It's a compact computer but made by the compact people, and I've replaced the hard drive and placed a few of the other replaceable parts that were in there, and it's been running fairly decent for 4 years. That's I know when somebody comes on my computer and changes the software, I see it, and it amazes me that I unless I go out and spend a couple of $300, which I don't have, to buy a software program to back up the operating boot system. And a lot of people out there don't have that money. They're going to spend $300 for a piece of software that they won't use, but maybe once every 2 or 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And You know, it's taken me all day to get this other computer up to 96% efficiency. I've lost some data, but I haven't lost any of my major files. And you're right, Don. What's wrong? We're living in a society where the government is controlling us. They don't care. One of the largest trucking companies in America, Aero Trucking Company, that hauls goods and services for the government, shut down Tuesday morning. The first word came out on Jeff Rentz's program, on Coast to Coast, and the government didn't come in and say, hey, we got 900 drivers spread out around the world. This is 2 days, 3 days before Christmas. Let's get them home, and let's see what we can do about helping Aero Trucking. Instead, nobody has done anything except the independent truckers out there helping these drivers with Aero Trucking to get home, over 900 truckers. Don, our society is not one of benevolence. Our government is not one of a benevolent government waiting for the people. And your article on the mutant Ninja Turtles is so right on from what I perused through and just looked at the titles and read the first line of a number of the paragraphs in both parts. I'm biting at the lip to get in there and read that, but I don't want to read it and just read it just to read it. I want to read it with knowledge of what and foresight of what to understand. And what led you to do this, by the way? What led you to do these, to get out there and do these stories?
Well, you remember the first article I did that I published on November 30th, and that was it was called Eisenhower 1952 Birth Certificate Fraud Revealed. And there was a, or was it fraud or scandal? I forget. I can't even remember. I've been researching down the rabbit hole so much that I come up with amnesia. You know, the rabbits don't even recognize me anymore.
I think they say you're down there so much that they figure you're part of the family.
Yeah. Well, all I can say is that I got an article sent to me from 1952. It was a judge releasing a birth certificate, or the story said that this judge assigned a birth certificate to be released to Dwight Eisenhower, who is alleged to have been in Denver, Colorado. This is upon his return from Europe, right after he had taken the helm of NATO. He was a supreme commander, first commander of NATO. And I'm reading this story, and there's, you know, they mentioned a couple of names. They mentioned this guy named Lonnie F. Roberts, and I went down the rabbit hole on him and found out that he was a private in the Army. Now, why is a private in the Army, and how was he able to, according to this story, send a questionnaire to Arthur B. Eisenhower, the alleged older brother? The first time I ever heard the name was in that article. And Arthur signs an affidavit and has it notarized that he witnessed the birth in Denison, Texas. Now, I'm looking at a document from Ellis Island where he says he was born in Tyler, Texas. This was typed out, so the Army knew about it. Likely this was one of these expedited forms. You know, they come in on a military ship. They're all getting off. Here's all the people. They make a check mark. They count the bodies, and they're through. They didn't ask very many questions about anything. And they had a son. His wife was with him. This is in 1924. Okay, this is probably the first time Dwight Eisenhower set foot on American soil. This September 27th, 1924. Yet they say he was born here in 1890, and I can't find a trace of it, but nothing but a bunch of lies. So I did the first story, and then I had promised my readers and my listeners to this show, that I would investigate this further, and I would come forth with an answer as to who he was and who he was connected with. What bloodline did he come here with, and who in America facilitated this? And I came up with two people. I came up with the Emperor of Austria-Hungary as the father, okay, an out-of-wedlock, while the guy's married, an out-of-wedlock affair with an unmarried woman by the name of Barbara Zarowski. In fact, I think he basically stocked the whole clan himself, and she being the mother. Or she could have taken several children from different women and become the surrogate. I saw them as a family of surrogates. What is astounding is that the names connect and pictures connect, but the pictures connect with certain people nobody ever heard of. This thing about Ida Elizabeth Stover, this woman born in Virginia, this woman that grew up on the East Coast of the United States and then went to Kansas. This is all horse pucky. The whole story is a big yarn that they spun. And I can basically tell you the time frame in which this was done. It was done around 1910, in fact, April of 1910. And I've got a video of Teddy Roosevelt, who would have been the prime candidate to pull this off, because he did this with the McCann clan. Today they're known as the McCains. Now these guys in Washington are probably cowering underneath their desks right now, those that are listening to this show, because this is the truth coming out, Drew. This is the absolute truth coming out. Teddy Roosevelt was the assistant secretary to the Department of the Navy at that time, and he was also running United States lines.
What year?
Oh, he was doing this in
what year?
Roosevelt.
Did you say Teddy Roosevelt?
Teddy Roosevelt he owned the United States lines. He put it in his son's name. Okay, put it in Kermit's name, but Kermit.
Well, before you said that, you said that he was the Secretary of State.
No, he was his assistant secretary of the Department of the Navy.
In what year was this?
Early 1900s.
Well, he was president of the United States in the early 1900s.
Or I should say late in 1890s and going into going into the 1900s. He took over after the McKinley assassination.
Correct.
And that was very suspicious too. They have a guy from Chicago come in, Czechoslovakian guy who was in Chicago, goes into New York to assassinate the president. And look at the role Chicago's playing right now. But anyway, that's speculation. I don't want to, I didn't investigate the McKinley assassination. These are just names and things that come up in the course of researching. But Roosevelt made a very, very unknown visit to Austria in 1910. And he was already out of the presidency. He had already gotten out of office. And he went over there, and that is the prime time for them to do that. In fact, that coincides with what they were doing with the Federal Reserve in New York, setting it up. And they had started that at the turn of the century. They were infiltrating. Now, we're not talking about normal immigration. We're talking about infiltration into the military, into the government. You don't come from overseas and land a government job, but that's what they do. I mean, these laws are supposed to prevent those things from happening. So that's how I got into it, the story about the no birth certificate and the claim that he was born in Denison, Texas, and he claimed he was born in Tyler, Texas. That's 130 miles away. Taking the old back roads, that was 130 miles away. Now, if you go the interstate, it takes 164 miles of driving because you got to go through the Dallas-Fort Worth area and then swing back down to the southeast. Pretty much it was almost a straight line following State Highway 69. So it really bugged me that he would be off so much, or that he would make that claim. And had I not looked for that record, we wouldn't know this. And it opened up a lot of things that just couldn't be coincidences. Lots of lies You know, they said they were married in Denver, and they released a picture of them in San Antonio. But the San Antonio photo is a fraud. It's a compilation. They inserted them into a picture of a stairway at a building that I found. How many stairways are there in the world, Drew? Stone stairways, stair steps. How many? Two buildings.
There's a lot.
I found the one. I found three pictures of the same stairway with different groups of people on them. And when you look at Dwight Eisenhower, who was 5'10", and Mamie, who was shorter than him, I don't know how much shorter, but certainly she must have been 6 or 7, 8 inches shorter at least. The image of him is so huge that he would have to be 8'3" tall. And she would have to be 7'3" tall. On the basis of measuring steps and counting the number of steps, his body is inserted into this picture, and he's a giant. And this is published on Wikipedia, and it's published in the Eisenhower Museum. And the foundation has it published on their website. I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy that they think that they can pull this off. Well, they pulled it off for a number of years, but you see, we keep saying the truth has to come out, and it is coming out. But I can debunk the whole thing. The guy, Drew, is wearing an Hungarian army uniform.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's evident. They didn't put pocket flaps on the American uniforms like the ones he's wearing. And I just added three other photos of Austrian army personnel wearing the same kind of uniform.
I saw that one. I did take time to look at those pictures, and you're right on with those Austrian uniform pictures. Those are definitely, you can go to the Austrian Museum archives and look at the military photographs.
Mm-hmm. I put the links in there so anybody can do that.
That stands out like a sore thumb.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And you know, I got a picture there of Harry Truman wearing a 1916 uniform. Certainly looks a lot different from Dwight. And Dwight was supposed to be a second lieutenant.
And that was what I was ranting on in the beginning of the show is concerning all of this, bringing up the fact that we've had great leaders that have been assassinated, and Dwight David Eisenhower was probably the first man elected to office that was the plant. And World War II was a plant. It was the beginning of the destruction of the United States. But one thing about it, Don, one thing I've learned in the last 48 hours, when the chips are down, Americans will stick together. When the chips are down, when the truth gets out there, that's why your research is so important. That's why all the radio stations out there, such as BBS Radio, American Voice Radio, these guys need to could have their voice out there. Because, Don, if it wasn't for people like you doing the research, these guys that have these radio stations, they may be really talented in running their radio stations, but when it comes to getting down the rabbit hole and digging the information out and then bringing it back to fruition to be printed, they're not even close to you with your ability as a farmer to come down and invade an area. The bottom line is, Don, that we have got a problem out there in America, and Americans are mad, Don. Americans are literally madder than a frying pan being thrown in the ocean, scalding hot. That's how mad we are, ready to boil salt water instantly, because we're fed up with all the lies. Do you see it, Don? You get to travel a whole lot more than I do.
Well, I see it, and I talk to people all the time,
I talk to people, but I'm talking about personally. Do you see it in the grocery stores? Granted, I go to the grocery stores. I go. Everybody knows me. So a lot of people won't talk to me just off the cuff. That's why I'm asking you, you know, you travel out there to your mother, so you get an opportunity to go into a mall somewhere I don't.
Oh, well, I mean, I don't go to the mall, but I don't have to go to the mall to see people. I mean, I saw some people earlier this evening that, young people that really had some things to say about what's going on. And it was just in a normal environment. Somebody was asking them to do something that really they shouldn't have even been telling them to do. They had no business telling them. And I said, it's all about control. And the one girl looked at me and said, I'm getting tired of people telling me what to do. People that don't have anything better than to stick their nose in my business. Now, when young people start saying that, and we're not talking about somebody who's insolent and rude to authority or to the, you know, to the elderly people around her. You know, some people have a problem with authority, but authority serves a purpose when it's honest, when it's righteous.
Well, these elitists, they feel that the American people are just going to be in lockstep with this because we've accepted these lies. And we're not out there in droves, but Don, I feel that the assets of the military and the police around the United States, they're not in lockstep with this elitist government in mass. You know, the foreign countries are coming, invading America, and Obama's giving them, allegedly giving them full immunity, from what I've been told by three other talk show hosts out there today. I have not seen anything in print or that's coming in. But, you know, Don,
full immunity from what, Drew?
Full immunity to any prosecution on American soil for what they do.
Huh. Is that, well, that sounds like something Satan would ask for.
Well, that's what I'm getting at. They get full immunity just like they carry a black passport. I don't know if you know what a black passport is.
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
And those in the audience that don't know what a black passport is, a black passport, you are the full authority of another country. You can literally commit murder in front of two witnesses on the soil of the United States. And the worst that can be done to you is an escort to a local airport
and be boarded, yeah,
flown out of the country on your own dime.
Yeah, and that's happened before too. That's happened many times. That happened on 9/11.
and they're just now, by the way, the leader of the Taliban and his three lieutenants were murdered today. I don't know if anybody wants to classify in a war being murder, but they were killed in Yemen. So to me, that's murder, where the United States government sent a drone in and indiscriminately murdered 18 people, seven of which was the leader of the Taliban, along with three of his lieutenants. I have a big time problem of using a drone to fly into a restaurant that sits next door to a mosque. I feel that churches should be left alone, period. But that ain't going to happen anymore because we don't have any honest men running in churches, Don.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's getting rather insane. It seems like they reach the threshold of insanity and they outdo themselves the very next day. You know, these guys were in the Senate at 4 o'clock in the morning Eastern time.
Yeah.
At 4 o'clock, and I listened to lie after lie after lie. You know, this is all about getting more money to put into the pools to play the derivatives and the hedge fund markets. And
you know, this morning when they started taking the vote, there was one Republican senator who came out and said that the repercussion of the American people is going to come hard and heavy, because regardless of what the Democrats are saying, across America. The American people don't want this healthcare bill, and the more they read it, the more they get the full measure in their hands, the more they dislike it and distrust it.
Well, they should. They have every reason to distrust it.
So where are we going? We're headed into a civil war, ladies and gentlemen. And I don't know who's going to start it. I don't know where it's going to start from. But this attitude that Obama has, well, he's giving full immunity to any foreign troops that are coming in under the flag of the United Nations. Any, ladies and gentlemen, anything they do, any foreign troops coming here has full immunity from prosecution on any crime. That means if they come in and you happen to be sitting there baking a cake and you've been trying to get rid of that drug dealer that lives next door, but they accidentally get the number wrong and they come breaking in the door to your house and shoot your pets and just throw everything on the floor and drag you out on the front porch, and the drug dealer next door is sitting there laughing, that's bad. That's really bad there, Paul. Don, that's really, really bad. I got Paul sending me IMs.
Now, you know, there was a story that I read earlier today about some executive order permitting Interpol to come here to the States. I don't know if I'm buying that story totally, because
I'm not buying that story at all, because it comes out of Storch Falls line.
Okay.
Now,
if that's the source, then
that's the source.
Okay, the Interpol, according to Chris Story, a couple of weeks ago, 3 weeks ago maybe, is here to enforce the Chinese $47 trillion lien on the government for having stolen money from them. Okay? I talk about this almost nightly, Drew. Even on the nights I'm not broadcasting, somebody is talking about this with me. And so Interpol being here has to do with that, if that's the intention. I don't know that Interpol is honest either, you know. I don't know. I'm seeing the games being played by the world court. You hear this guy's being bribed, this guy's being bribed. They're trying to do trades with the money. They evidently tried doing 5 trades with these sovereign funds, these prosperity funds. And the jackasses, and that's what they are, is jackasses, don't realize that if we get the money, those that are in line to get money out of these funds, they're going to put the money in the bank. They're going to put the money in the bank, and that's going to save the banks. But they don't want that to happen, you see. They want to buy the banks out at bargain basement prices so they can turn around and steal. That's it. That's it. There's nothing else to say about it. That's all they want to do. You've heard Bob Chapman talk about the level of corruption. It's never been like this on this planet, ever, in the history of the planet. And we can go back to Atlantis and Lemuria, Sumeria. We can talk about all these ancient societies that were on this planet at one time or another. Never was the corruption like it is right now. This is not legitimate government. This is organized crime. That's all it is. Organized crime out murdering everybody under the guise of terrorism, under the guise of spreading democracy. And under the guise of the swine flu, they're the swine, and they got the flu, and they're trying to give it.
480 million rifles and pistols in America, and of that, there are. If you want to go along with that, there's 240 million Americans over the age of 13 that know how to use a weapon. I would dare say you could take it to 12, even to 11, if you just talk about the young boys from Texas, Louisiana, Arkansas, Mississippi, Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee. Those boys in Oklahoma, those boys out there, they learn to pick up a gun at the age of 10. They're shooting squirrels. At the age of 12, they're going out duck blind shooting ducks. At the age of 10, they might get lucky to go out and hunt deer. But by the time they're 13, they're on their own going out harvesting deer during the deer season, and they'll always go out and duck hunt. So Americans are armed, Don, and they're not going to take it anymore. They're not going to let these guys come in from Europe and dictate these orders and say, we're going to take your cheese pizza.
Yeah, well, you know, Drew, I sounded the alarm at the beginning of this election, even before the election, about the long-legged Mac Daddy. You remember that?
Oh, yeah. Most of us have had Dr. James David Manning on our shows sounding the alarm. And he's been very, very outspoken to the point where he was making such an outspoken view, being black. The boys in the back room at the Three Stooges agencies literally went out there and intimidated him, but he's still doing a two or three hour show every night, and it gets delivered to me. So because I can't pick it up, his show has been moved over to the time that my show is live. So a friend of mine who listens to my show, who has a radio station, he records the James Manning show, and then I get a chance to listen to it maybe 2 or 3 hours later. At least I get to hear what he's got to say.
Yeah, well, you know, there's been plenty of people, and they're promoting the Kenya thing again now. They're trying to start restart the dialectical argument like it's something that was just discovered. This has been written about ad nauseum. It's been written about, and it's been exposed. And certainly the fraud of Hawaii and Kenya has been exposed just in the Three Stooges Go to Washington series that I wrote for The Observer while Don Harkins was still alive. Yeah. See, they even had to take out Don Harkins.
Well, they took out Mary Ann Ponder because literally she was right there on the rail line feeding information to those of us that were watching railroad traffic, and she was doing a darn good job keeping abreast. Because once I didn't have to tell her, but one time what I was looking for on a rail car coming through, and within 3 minutes she was calling me up on the phone saying they're here, and she did that for over 8 years, Don.
Yeah, it's obvious what's going on. Yeah, people getting mad is the least of it, really. And you can imagine, Drew, that while I'm discovering all this stuff, the disgust that I feel in what I find and what I see.
Well, I'm waiting for you to get it all. You know, get to a point where you can all put it in a little binder and sell it as a big treatise.
Yeah.
This chapter is on this hoodlum. This chapter is on this hoodlum, and I think your title should be "Modern Day Hoodlums of America."
Yeah. Well, I've been thinking about a title, but yeah, it has to go in the book. There's no doubt about it. There's enough material there to be a book already, just in these series of genealogy articles that I've done. And let me tell you, it's not like they come up with some brilliant scheme. This is just organized crime. This is paying off people, bribing people that work for the government to look the other way while they sneak them in and lie and create false records. People should be outraged. Absolutely
it's
outraged.
Screaming all the way. I've got news for you, Don. The people that I get and I do have the opportunity to talk to, they're all telling me, but these are people that are longtime friends, and they've been on my side for the ages. But and that's why I was asking about if you have the opportunity to meet up with people in just common people that don't know who you are in a store across America, all races, all genders. People are really mad at this president and this Congress, and I guarantee you, Don, when the Senate reconvenes next year, it's going to be it's going to look like 85% is not going to be affiliated with nobody.
Yeah, yeah. They go through, you know, anything. You know, there's a part in my article. This is government, okay? Ellis Island, okay? I was researching a name, France with a T in it, F-R-A-N-T-Z, France, which is not a normal spelling, okay, of the name France, which means Francis or Frank. Franz Josef Eisenhower. I found that name at Ellis Island. And
no
I found I found a passenger record of that name, okay? And I'd already figured out who the father was, but I thought, let me look at this. This could be very interesting. And I clicked on it, and I got a screen, which I put in the article. It was hilarious. I had to put this in the article to show people to the pathetic extent they go to hide the truth. This is a public database. We are experiencing service delays. This is a black screen with big white letters, okay? We are experiencing service delays. Please try again or contact our customer service office at contactus@ellisisland.org or 212-561-4588 with your phone number and best time to reach you. Why does their service delay require me giving my phone number? Why? Why not fix the service problem? You see, this is nothing but a bald-faced lie. They don't want you to see the record. That's why the screen came up, you see. And this has happened to me before. This happened to me when I was going down the rabbit hole on the Bush clan. The Scherfs is their real name. And the McCanns.
By the way, I've got an IM here from Louisiana coming in and says, Don, you did a great show with Drew on Monday. Are you going to repeat it next Monday?
Are we going to repeat it? Well, we certainly can talk about this article. If you read this article, and I encourage you to do that, try to find some time to read it. So
I've got it sliced and diced, ready to the food, that is, to cook. And I've got the book sliced and diced. Your article ready. I just while we've been talking, I've printed it out. I'm going to sit down and slice and dice your articles and read them tomorrow. After I hit the deck tomorrow morning, I promise you to do that.
Yeah, you know, just to bring up some of the topics in there, we're going to have to close out.
I looked up at the clock and you're running low on time.
Don gave us a couple extra minutes here so that we could compensate for the time we were out. What, we were out a half an hour, wasn't it? No, I'm just kidding.
No, we were out about 16 minutes.
Well, in any event, we have a couple more minutes.
Okay.
You know, we have this story, just so people know. We have the whole world pushing the story that Eisenhower was born in Denison, Texas. And there's not a shred of evidence, but what there is evidence of is that it's all fabricated. And that's what the article talks about. I go down the rabbit hole and I show you what is not true and I show you why it is not true. And there are multiple stories going on about all these little details. Now, he says Tyler, Texas. So how can it be Denison, Texas? You got to ask that question. So if it's not Denison, Texas, and it's not Tyler, Texas, then where is it? Okay, now, Mamie Eisenhower, they say in every genealogical piece, they say that she was, or biographical story, they say that she was born in Boone, Iowa. And in 73, they've got the governor of Colorado praising her, having been born in Denver and raised in Denver. Wait a minute. Boone, Iowa, buddy. Didn't you look it up? I mean, it's published everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And they dedicated a tunnel in the Denver area to the Eisenhowers. It was called the Eisenhower Memorial Bore. And believe me,
it's anything but, okay?
Yeah. Anyway, And then she says, oh, yeah, Dwight loved Denver, and he loved Colorado, and, you know, all of this meaningless stuff. After what I had already uncovered, I wanted to go vomit. I didn't have a barf bag with me, though, so I fought it off. But you get sick to your stomach reading the lies and the twisting of the truth. Then they say they were married in Denver. And they show pictures of San Antonio saying, this is on wedding day, this picture was taken. Well, wait a minute. Wait a minute. They went on a 10-day honeymoon in Colorado, and then they went down to Kansas to Abilene and the University of Kansas State University, where one of the brothers was supposedly attending school. I mean, who goes visits the brother on their honeymoon? I mean, you're gonna see your family, you know, when you're done with your honeymoon. The last thing you want to do is go to your brother's college. I mean, come on, give me a break. But these are the kind of lies that they put out there.
And it's continuing, ongoing.
Yeah, so the research debunks the lies, or proves them as lies, the things that they're telling us. And a lot of it is in the pictures, as I mentioned. It's not just one picture. They've got him photoshopped into a football team, saying that while he was stationed at Fort Sam Houston, he was a football coach at St. Louis College in San Antonio.
Give me a break.
Come on. Yeah, and it's not his picture in the football team at West Point. I'm not an idiot. I may look dumb, but I'm not an idiot. Oh, man. You know, Drew, it's just one lie after another. And they create all these birth records, and they don't even jibe with each other. And they can say, well, you know, we didn't create this record. Well, let me tell you something. The Ellis Island record they created, and they created the census record. And I went down the rabbit hole on Ida Stover, and I can prove that Ida Stover didn't exist. She couldn't have been living with her uncle, who was married to a sister that didn't exist. You see? It's just one lie after another in this story.
Are we ever going to be able to get the truth out?
It is out, people.
Oh, I'm talking about to the masses.
Well, you know,
we've got the truth out. Are we going to continue to just be the watchers? And in your case, the Thomas Paine, just getting it out there. Are we going to be voicing our opinions on the radio shows? Are the listeners going to pick up the armor of justice and walk forward with that truth? I pray they do, Don. But I see this battle coming fast and furious.
Well, then we have a good reason, don't we? I mean, you know, it's if people see the truth in what I've written, what I've uncovered, then they have an obligation to share it with other people, to spread the word. How much of an effort does that take? Drew, I spent 18 days straight, 22 hours a day, sleeping on an hour.
Then you're making me tired.
Well, I'm serious.
I know, I'm not laughing at you, I'm laughing with you. We keep digging up the truth and passing it out, and people look at us like we're crazy.
You know, and they track us on the internet, and they intercept our email, and they listen in on our phone calls.
And cause havoc on our machine.
Yeah. But, you know, they only do that because we're telling the truth.
Hey, they come after us individually because they can't attack the message. The message is documented. So they come after
the messenger.
You and me, they come after us with the things that we've got to have, either sleep or a working computer. As we sign off, ladies and gentlemen, I've got some people asking me how I survive. I survive by working on computers. If you've got a computer out there and you're taking it to Best Buy and they want $400 up front to fix your computer and take the virus off, I would appreciate it if you'd call me and let me do it, because 90% of the time, all I need is your hard drive. I've got a lady in Arizona that's sending me her, she's going to send me her whole computer for $12. I don't need any cables, don't need any extra wires, don't need the monitor. She's going to send, she's putting it UPS, on parcel post, United States Post Office, $12 from Phoenix, Arizona to Little Rock, Arkansas. I probably won't get it till next Tuesday, but I'll have it in my hands for about 24 hours to 36 hours, and it goes back in the mail back to her. $12. She's going to pay me from $50 to $100. Best Buy wanted $400 for what I'm going to do. And I told her, I said, sweetheart, you haven't got, she's as poor as a church mouse. I told her, I said, if you can afford $50 with the freight, I'll take care of it. I'm actually learning more and more about all these viruses going on our computers, ladies and gentlemen. And at the very worst, I can pull the data. If you haven't formatted your computer, I can pull the data and save all your files and put them on DVD disk, and you can have all your files from your computer at a cost of just $1.50 per DVD that I fill up. Now you can't go anywhere else and get it done that cheaper, period.
Oh, no, it's expensive. There's companies out there that charge in excess of
$1 a megabyte.
Oh, even more than that. I've seen.
No, $1. You figure $1 a megabyte. That's $1,000 for a gigabyte.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
We're talking about 40 gigabyte hard drive.
Yeah. Well, you imagine if you have a terabyte hard drive.
Oh God, there it is astronomical. And ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't take. If somebody wanted to give me $10,000, I could set up a cloakroom, sterile room, and take the hard drives apart. It doesn't take rocket science. All I got to do is buy another hard drive of the same exact type, open up the hard drive that you've got that's bad, that doesn't even boot up, and take the disk out and put it in another hard drive that is brand new. And read the information. If it's got a virus on it, I've found a way. I'm not divulging my process because I'm actually wrote it up in an article and I'm posting it to a patent office of pulling information off of a hard drive without you losing your data. Now, you think I'm crazy, Don, but I'm at a point where I'm mad. I'm so mad you could cook an egg on my head, and I got plenty of room up there after I shave my head twice a day. To fry an egg, big time, and you don't need no grease. No grease at all. Just I'm hot. I am so mad at our government. It is unreal. And I'm willing to help anybody out there that's got problems. And they shouldn't have to go out there to Best Buy or CompUSA or any one of these electronic companies out there and pay these guys $2,000 to fix a hard drive on a computer. That's ludicrous. And they want $500 up front. I told this lady in Arizona, the worst you'll be out is $25 for freight back and forth. If I can't fix it, you'll be out $25. $12.50 to get it to me, and $12.50 for me to get it back to you. And she's willing to gamble that. Anyway, you better wrap up your show. We've been over an hour.
Yeah. We touched on a lot of things, but... Well, next time we talk, maybe on your show, we can certainly talk about this article because it has everything to do with what's going on.
Well, I planned on that for Monday.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm looking forward to it. And you're going to be with us next week.
I'm going to be with you next week. I didn't know you sent. Did you send me a plane ticket?
On my show.
I mean, I'm not going to drive in all that snow. I got news for you. I've had enough of driving in the snow.
Is your car running, actually?
My car runs. My car runs. I just don't have a top for it.
All right. Well, Drew Raines, thanks for being on the show.
You're welcome.
You sacrificing your early Christmas morning hour.
I'm going to go to bed. I'm sorry. I'm going to camp out. I'm not going to do a news and views tomorrow morning. I might throw out a few articles on the Arrow trucking deal and the fact that truckers are uniting to help these other truckers out, over 900 of them spread out around the United States. And anybody out there that's in a big community and you've got a big truck stop, you might want to go over there and find out if there's any Arrow truckers that are parked at these truck stops and ask them if they'd come to your house to have dinner. These are honest guys, hardworking men from grassroots America, just like the old cowboy. And they're stranded out there away from their wives and their children on Christmas Day because some chief executive officer and chief financial officer decided they would close the company down 2 days before Christmas. That's sick.
Yeah. Well, Drew, we gotta say goodnight now, but I want to thank you for being on the show. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas, and we'll see you Monday on your show, A Marine's Disquisition, heard on blogtalkradio.com, as well as on Wind Talkers Radio Net.
The last Monday of the month.
Yes. And I want to thank Wind Talkers Radio Network for hanging in there waiting.
You want to thank Larissa for keeping them together.
And also blogtalkradio.com for carrying the show. Special thanks to BBS Radio for making Evident Footprints possible. If you're not a subscriber to Evident Footprints, do so. It's worth it. And you can get all the archives of all the shows on bbsradio.com. Thanks to Donna Doug Newsom, Don on the sound tonight, and getting us back on the air. That's also Don Newsom. I want to wish everyone out there a very Merry Christmas, a peaceful, loving, joy-filled Christmas, and think about the meaning of the day. Really think about the meaning of the day. Take what we said tonight in context to what's going on in the world. I encourage you to go to my website, directlightproductions.com, and you can go down to Breaking News. And click on the bottom two links are the name of the article, which is Teenage Mutant Ninja Eisenhower's Part 1 and Part 2. Both of those links are on the bottom of the Breaking Stories page, or you can go directly to Articles, and you'll see the index of the articles there. I encourage you to read Part 2. If you read Part 1, go ahead and read Part 2. Because there's a lot of information there that ties everything together, and you're going to see the photographic proof of all the data that I have in Part 1. So, in the meantime, I wish everyone a Merry Christmas. I wish you a night or day filled with peace, love, and light, and those of you in the dark, have a good night.